So we're going to be sharing the Word of God together, and I've entitled my talk today, Letting Go and Letting God. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 4. It says, "When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" May God bless his word to us. From time to time my home, I've got a large garage, and there's a double door at the front, and then there's a window at the back. And on the odd occasion, what has happened is that a sparrowhawk, which is a bird of prey, sparrowhawk has flown down the drive. Now, a sparrowhawk, for those who don't know how it hunts, it basically hunts by ambush. So what it does, it uses the cover of hedges and buildings to come and surprise its prey, and then it catches the prey as the prey flies off to try and escape. But from time to time, a sparrowhawk has come down the drive, and because my garage door has been open, it has seen light at the end of the garage. And so it's flown into the garage and then come to the glass window, and then obviously comes to abrupt halt. It then endeavours to try and get through that window and obviously is unable to do so. I've not yet worked out why it doesn't think, let's turn around and go back out the way I came. But it just continues to keep on trying to get through the window. And so on one occasion, for instance, I came home from church and I went into the garage, and there I saw this sparrowhawk. And I realised that it needed rescuing. And so I went down to rescue the sparrowhawk, but the sparrowhawk saw me coming and naturally is fearful of human beings. And so the nearer I got, the more frantic it got, the more fearful it got, the more it tried to escape, and the more tired it got, until eventually it was pretty exhausted, and so it just lay there. And that enabled me then to reach down and pick it up. I have to say that I learnt the lesson the first time I did this, because I hadn't got any gloves on and one of its talons went straight into my hand. It's amazing how sharp they are. The other times I made sure I'd have the gloves. But I reached down and picked it up, and then I carried this bird, who was looking at me with great fear. I carried it out of the garage, round into our garden area, and then I opened my hands, and it sat there for a moment, I think a bit surprised, and then realised that it was now free, and it took off. And the lesson that I learned on that occasion is that so very often God will come to take hold of us, to free us, but we're afraid of what he might do as he comes close. We're afraid of the impact he might have upon our lives. We're afraid of what might happen if he grabs hold of us. And as a result of that, we struggle and we fight and we try to resist without understanding that here is the one who loves us beyond whatever we could imagine, who simply wants to take hold of us in order that he might release us into a life of freedom, into a life of liberty. That's why Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." Here in this story that we've just read, there are a number of things that we can learn. The first is that here is a man who's shackled by his circumstances. The Bible simply says he's a man with leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease. Very often it could be fatal. But one of the things that leprosy did was that it isolated you from your community. You were not allowed to in any way meet with anyone. You couldn't meet with family. You couldn't meet with other people. Indeed, lepers had to ensure they stayed a distance. And if it looked as though they were going to be coming anywhere near to where people were, they would have to shout out as loud as possible, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that people could avoid them. And can you imagine living a life like that? Trouble is that there are people today who don't necessarily live with leprosy, but they live in isolation. They live with loneliness. They're shackled by circumstances that have gripped their lives. They are shackled by issues that control them, habits, disappointments, resentments, unforgiveness, things that just seem to grip them, and they try their best to escape. They try their best to break free from the shackles. But it just seems that the more they try, the tighter the shackles seem to become. They don't seem to have any way through. And like this man, I suspect that they come to a point where they are resigned to their fate, where they feel it's all hopeless. Yet, for this man, in that condition, with those shackles, suddenly a light was to appear on the horizon. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what caused him to be drawn to the attention that Jesus was in town. But what we discover is that he somehow or other found out that there was someone who could come and minister into his life, to meet with him in a personal and dramatic way. And so here we discover this man, knowing that Jesus was someone that could potentially set him free, comes to Jesus. See, it's a matter of choice whether we come to Jesus or not. The Bible tells us that Jesus is ready to receive any who would come to him. And the Bible goes on to say that all who receive him, to them he gives the power to become the children of God. But also there are those that choose not to come to him, those who choose not to seek for his help, those who choose not to come and ask for the freedom that he offers. And we have the right to do that. But for this man, he was so desperate. I suspect he probably heard the stories of others who have been set free. Blind who could now see, deaf who could now hear, lame who could now walk. Other lepers who had been brought into a place of cleansing. Possibly he'd even heard of the fact that there are those that have been raised from the dead. And so he comes with a hope in his heart. But it was a risk he was taking. You see, he was a leper. And as a leper and someone who was unclean, he should never have approached Jesus. For some of us, we feel that the sinfulness in our lives stops us from approaching Jesus. The guilt we carry, the condemnation that we feel that holds us, it seems to suggest to us Jesus will not welcome us. But I want you to know that Jesus welcomes all who will come to him. Whatever our past, whatever our circumstances, whatever our situation, no matter what it may be we have done or have not done, there is a welcome and a reception when we come to Jesus. And so this man comes to Jesus. And as he comes to Jesus, we see that immediately this man recognizes the sovereignty of Jesus. See, he comes and he kneels before him and says, "Lord." And that is one of the first things we need to recognize if we're going to be set free from the shackles that hold us, is that there is one who is greater than the power of the shackles or the prison that we find ourselves in. There is one who is sovereign. We acknowledge his lordship. We acknowledge his sovereignty. And we bow in worship before him. Because it's in that place of worship something is triggered. We're reminded that Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, We read in the Acts of the Apostles, there came a moment when they were in their chains, they were in shackles, they were in darkness, they had been beaten, and yet in the midst of all of those circumstances, they began to worship. And they began to worship and praise and honor the one who they declared to be sovereign. So it was that the very prison itself was shaken with the power of God. My prayer is that every time we gather as the people of God, that the place where we gather will be shaken by his power, that we will sense his presence, that we will worship him, and in worshiping him and exalting him and uplifting him, we will declare him to be Lord over whatever issue, circumstance, or shackle that we have. That he is the one that can bring to us the breakthrough that we're looking for. Have you acknowledged his sovereignty? For some of you, the circumstances you are in are such that you're still trying to work out what's best to do. What you need to do is say, Lord, you are sovereign. What is it you want me to do? As a church, you are facing a future where you're still searching and seeking for some understanding of what the purposes and plans of God are. And you need to be in the place where you are willing to say, Lord, you are sovereign. In making that declaration, you put him in a place where his will, his purpose, his plans, his thoughts are higher and greater than your own preferences, your own desires, or even your own ideas. For in that place of kneeling before the Sovereign One, here was a man who'd come to a place where he understood he could do nothing, but there was one who was before him who could do more than he could ever think of. And then he goes on to say this. He says, look, I want to surrender you to you all of my hopes. He uses the words, if you are willing. It's an interesting statement. You see, here is a man who is so desperate to be set free, but recognizing that the sovereignty of God was such that God knew what was best next. He was willing to surrender to the Lord the choice of whether he was set free from his shackles or not. And you may ask the question, well, why would he not be set free from his shackles? You know, sometimes God comes to us in the midst of the storm, and we have the example of when Jesus was in the boat asleep and they were in the midst of the storm, and the disciples came and woke him up because they were so fearful of all that was going on around them. And they said, don't you care? We're about to drown. Jesus immediately reveals his care and his concern, and he says, peace be still. And the storm ceases. But there was another storm and on another occasion. And again, Jesus has sent his disciples out into the midst of the storm. They didn't know the storm was coming, but they've been told to go across the lake. And so they headed across the lake. And whilst they were doing what they were told to do, the storm hits them. It's buffeting them. The circumstances around them are concerning and there's fearfulness. And yet in the midst of the storm, suddenly they see what they initially think is a ghost, but which they realize is Jesus, because as they cry out in fear, Jesus speaks to them and says, take courage, it is me, don't be afraid. And the storm continues, and in the midst of the storm, Peter says, Lord, if it really is you, allow me to walk on the water like you are. And so in the midst of the storm, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, you can come. You can do what I'm doing. You can step out into the stormy seas and you can conquer the circumstances that are surrounding you. And Peter did exactly that. The storm did not cease until the experience of Peter walking on water had ceased.
And for some of us, the storm we are in, the shackles that seem to bind us, are not there to hold us or restrict us or in some way cause us to lose our freedom. They are there to enable us to see something of a new understanding of the power and the sovereignty and the glory of Jesus as he works within those circumstances to enable you to have the power over those circumstances and to live in a place of freedom. Because the liberty that can come to you does not need to rest upon you being set free from the circumstances. For some of us, we come to a place in our lives where our health perhaps is not as it was. And it's quite right and absolutely correct that we ask for healing to come, but there must be a sense in the middle of that to say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. You see, the Apostle Paul said, Lord, will you remove this thorn in the flesh? And the response he got to that was, no, Paul, I'm not going to take it away from you. You're going to have to live with that shackle. You're going to have to live with that weakness. You're going to have to live with whatever those circumstances were that you're asking me to remove. But I want you to know this, Paul, they will not in any way restrain you. They will liberate you. They will not in any way hold you. They will free you. Because what God goes on to say, he says, Paul, I want you to know that in your weakness you will discover my strength. And there came a point where the Apostle Paul said, therefore, I will glory in my weaknesses. For when I am weak, he is strong. And for some of you, need to know that as you come and acknowledge the sovereignty of God and you surrender your hopes and your dreams to him, that whatever action he takes, it will be for your glory, for your goodness and for his glory. See, he goes on to say, I know you can. It's a statement of faith. He has absolute confidence that if it is the will of Jesus for him to be set free, he will be set free. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The writer to the Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is that which brings us into the position where we're able to receive what God wants us to have. As he said, I know you can, it opened up to him the door of the resources of heaven that could break into his life and could break off the shackles that held him. And for us, we need to be people of faith. People who have an absolute confidence that as we come to the one who loves us and is there for us, that as we make the declaration, Lord, will you do this? We believe you can. Another occasion, a man came and he said, Lord, I believe you can, but I'm aware that I still struggle with doubts. Will you help me with my unbelief, with the doubts that I struggle with? And Jesus did just that. Do you believe he's able to do what you want him to do? Do you believe he's able to change the circumstances in which you find yourself? Do you believe he's able to touch your life in new ways? Do you believe he's able to release to you the power of his spirit? Do you believe he's able to take hold of you and enable you to be able to fulfill purposes and plans he has for you in order that through you his glory might be manifested and that people might discover him as Lord and as Savior? And as a church, I want to say to you, have faith. Have faith. He is sovereign. He is in control. Do not lose hope. Do not lose heart. Have faith to see that he is able to do so much as you place your dependency upon him. I'm aware in my own life that there are times when I say, yes, I have faith in you, and then I try to bring about the answer myself. Where I say, yes, Lord, I'm handing it to you, and then immediately I take it back again. And so I understand that it's not an easy road to walk, this road of faith. And yet at the same time, the challenge is there that we might ask God to increase our faith. And faith is like a muscle. The more we use our muscles, the stronger the muscle becomes. And the more you use your faith, the greater your faith becomes. The more you see God step in and do something amazing, the more you have an expectation that he would do even more amazing things. We see with the life of the disciples that at times they struggled with their faith. And yet at the same time, as they continued to learn and understand this path of faith, it took them to a position where it released them into being those that could turn the world upside down with the good news of Jesus. He says, you can. And then he makes a statement alongside that. He brings his supplication. He brings his need. He says, make me clean. Make me clean. One of the songs that I still, old songs that I still love, and I remember singing it, and I'll give my age away now, when in the 1960s I went to Billy Graham Crusades. And one of the songs that was regularly sung, just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. We need to be clean. The leper wanted to be clean of his leprosy, but he also needed to be clean of his sin. And as we come, we need to be clean. And the cleanliness comes through faith in Jesus and the recognition that he sacrificed his life in order that we might have life. The Apostle John wrote, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Our call to him is, Lord, cleanse me. And we all, as we walk through this world from day to day, recognize that we fail. There are things we do that we shouldn't do. There are things that we don't do that we should do. And yet in the midst of that failure, there is a sacrifice that has been made, which is an eternal sacrifice. When Jesus declared it is finished on the cross, as he gave his last breath and he shed his blood, he did that in order that your sin of the past could be forgiven, your sin of the present could be forgiven, and the sins of the future could be forgiven. It doesn't mean that we in any way abuse the grace that is evident there, but what we recognize is that there is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And so he said, make me clean. And the response to that is this supreme reply. I am willing. I want to say to you, church, whatever your need is, he is willing. Whatever you're crying out for, he is willing. Whatever the shackle is that you want to be released from, he is willing. Whatever your hopes and dreams are, he is willing. Whatever your plans are for the future that you long to see come to pass, if they're in tune with his heart and his mind, he is willing. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish in his name and for his glory, and that you need the strength and the power and the opportunity to do so, he is willing. For those who want to know and move into a deeper experience of his power and his presence and his spirit, he is willing. For those who want to move into ministries and opportunities of serving him, he is willing. For those who want to receive the gift and the anointing of the Holy Spirit so they might move in power through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, through the prophetic, speaking in tongues, he is willing. For those who are longing for a miracle to take place in their lives, he is willing. For those who are waiting for the prodigals to return, he is willing. For those who are waiting for him to bring about a supply to their need, he is willing. Because you see, he's already given the greatest gift that could ever be given. That was the gift of his son Jesus. For so God loved, so you and me, that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I am willing. And with that, the supernatural power of heaven touched this man. This man who had come unclean, isolated, alone, shackled by all that held him. Suddenly, the hand of love touched him. The hand of purity reached out to him. The hand that indicated the willingness of heaven to step into his circumstances came and, just for a moment, brushed his body. And in that moment, the power of God was seen, because in the natural world and in the world of the religious ideas, the uncleanliness would have come and impacted and affected the one who was touching him. But in the supernatural realm, in heaven's realm, the power of heaven was the one that impacted and infiltrated and changed and transformed a man who came unclean but went away, cleansed, set free, and no longer shackled. And that can be your experience too. If you, like this man, come and declare the sovereignty of Jesus, surrendering your hopes to him, stating with absolute confidence that he can, bringing to him your supplication of what it is that you're asking him to do, knowing that the supreme response will be, I am willing, and then experiencing the supernatural power of God at work in your life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for every child of God that's here, every individual who you know, you value, you love. You know about their circumstances and situations. You know what I don't know. But I pray for any who've lost hope, that hope will arise in their lives again. Any who feel shackled, they will see that you are the answer that can set them free. That, Lord, you will enable each and every one of us to have that understanding that you are willing. That, Lord, as we come with those things that we desire and long for, and as we present them to you, may there be an expectation in our lives that you will do as we've asked. Because your word tells us, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, could you close in prayer, please?
Dear Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for bringing those wonderful words that Dave spoke to us. We thank you for your guidance. We ask you for your guidance through this coming week. Dear Father, be with those who are unwell. Restore them back to full health and strength. And may they soon be back here, joining us and joining in our services again next Sunday. So, dear Father, guide us through the week. Take care of us and bless us and be with us. May the Lord of our, may God give us peace and happiness through this coming week. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pronounce the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, and I look forward to catching up with you sometime in the future after I've returned from my wandering around the high seas with my beloved, which will take place on Tuesday.